I'm Bob Witstra, CEO of Farmers Insurance. We're a proud sponsor of March of Dimes, March for Babies. Helping babies was an easy decision for farmers. It's a cause that matters to our employees, agents, and to the communities we serve. More babies begin healthy lives because of March of Dimes, research and programs. And your company can make a difference too. Support the March of Dimes. Join the more than 20,000 companies who participate in March for Babies. Visit marchforbabies.org.
G. Gordon Liddy. The G-Man is back live from Radio America in Washington, D.C.
Name's Liddy. Gordon Liddy.
Excellent.
I'm not worthy.
This is the G. Gordon Liddy Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now, as you know, the public has finally realized that global warming, alarmism, climate change nonsense and everything is just that. It's bad science by alleged scientists who have a political agenda. And the public's realization of this came about with the so-called climate gate, and that is the release of all of those emails back and forth between England and the United States, disclosing how they were misusing data and all of the rest of it. Well, apparently the political scientists are now launching a counterattack. And here to discuss that with me is Myron Abel. He is with the Competitive Enterprise Institute and an old friend. And Mr. Abel, you have a piece out called Climate Gate Reloaded, Plots, Politics, and Predetermined Outcomes. Well, they had a predetermined outcome to begin with, didn't they, with this global alarmism business?
That's right, Gordon. I think what we're seeing is that the alarmist community is circling the wagons, and they are deciding not to look into the problems with their science that have been revealed by ClimateGate. They're circling the wagons, and they're going to fight back and say, no, we're right, and the world has to change its ways to conform with our theories, and that means you're going to have to use a lot less energy, and you're going to have to drive less, take fewer plane flights, keep your house colder in the winter and warmer in the summer, and that's because we say so.
Yeah, in other words, you're going to have to use a lot less energy and pay a lot more for it.
That's right, and you know this is not. I mean, what was released on Friday and became public knowledge is a series of emails by some of the leading alarmist scientists in this country who belong to the National Academy of Sciences, and they clearly consider themselves an elite who really should be running things. I mean, it's you know, we know better than you do, and please shut up and stop bothering us about these scientific scandals and go ahead and do whatever we tell you to do. I mean, that's basically the tone that comes across here.
Wow. Well, do they put forth some sort of a basis for that we should accept that would cause us to believe that we ought to follow, Pied Piper-like their lead?
Gordon, what these scientists are now is essentially political operatives. I think to some extent some of them may still be active scientists. Some of them may have once been active scientists. But now they're really political operatives. And what they've decided is, global warming, we're absolutely convinced it's happening. We're absolutely convinced it's human beings, and we're absolutely convinced it's going to cause terrible impacts, and therefore the debate is over, and the public doesn't really need to worry about some little scandal involving data manipulation.
Well, Mario, when they say, you know, debate is over, global warming, blah, 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 what do they make of the fact that there hasn't been any warming for 15 years?
That's an inconvenient detail, I would say, Gordon. You know, don't bother us with the facts. We've got our minds made up here, and you should too. I mean, it really is. I think it's almost as simple as shut up and do what we tell you to do. I mean, these people are—they're not acting as scientists. They're acting as political operators who want a lot more government and a lot less personal choice about things like what kind of car you can buy, what kind of light bulb you can use, how many plane trips you can take in a year. They've just decided that's going to be really good for everybody if, as you say, we pay more for energy and use a lot less of it.
Well, we just got this email in. Myron says, Gordon, when you get Myron on, will you please ask him to comment on the fact that one of my formerly favorite magazines, the Skeptical Inquirer, has a new op-ed where they say that the science is settled and that we should not listen to a handful of energy company-funded skeptics. The author of this piece is a psychologist. I am so ashamed of the editors over there. They have always been so fair and scientifically inclined. What's going on? Listening online, Annabelle Pinheiro, sent from my BlackBerry Wireless.
Wow, you know, it's funny that this a magazine called The Skeptical Inquirer, which I've seen occasionally over the years, thinks that a party line should be enforced on some things which you shouldn't be skeptical about. My view is you should be skeptical about everybody in authority, and you should check up on what they say. As President Reagan said, trust but verify. And I would underline but verify. The global warming science is not. I think global warming science is settled, and I think it's settled that global warming isn't much of a problem. There may be a little of it. It's almost undoubtedly influenced by human activity, and the impacts are very mild. I think that's what the real science says. But there has been this political movement that has convinced a number of otherwise intelligent people that there's some kind of world crisis that requires us to give up our prosperity and, to a large extent, our freedom. And, you know, some of these scientists are very open about the fact that they think that coercive societies would be much better at handling this crisis. China will do this. Once China really realizes it's a problem, this is not an exact quote, but it's from the sentiment of one scientist. Once they realize it's a real problem, they'll really be able to get things done because they can just tell people what to do. I think that's the real agenda here. And so I'm sorry to see that this magazine has decided that skepticism's okay, but not on global warming.
Yeah. Well, I've said all along that this whole global warming scam is intended to do two things. One, to make people like Al Gore a lot of money with it, you know, his cap and trade nonsense. Of course, that money will come out of your pocket and mine, and everybody else is listening. And second, power, the ability to control people, tell them what what to do, take away our liberties, do so because the people who are putting forth all this nonsense believe themselves to be elites who should be entitled to tell the rest of us what to do by virtue of their superiority. Self-designated, of course, but nevertheless, that's the way they feel.
Gordon, I agree with that completely, and I think that these emails that have come to light over the last few days from some of these top alarmist scientists show exactly what you're talking about. There is an elite. There's a feeling that we know what's good for you, we know what's good for society, and if only our democratic arrangements were arranged so that people had to listen to a scientist, everything would be great in the world. Well, of course, these people, some of them are very good scientists, some of them are maybe not so good, but leaving aside their science, what they've become is political actors who are claiming that they ought to be listened to, that they ought to have more authority than everybody else. And that just rubs me the wrong way. It strikes me that, once you're in a representative democracy, everybody has a vote and everybody's opinion needs to be listened to, not just the elites who are self-interested, as well as big corporations or small businessmen are self-interested.
May I ask you a quick question, Myron? This email we got earlier, and we did check it out, and we looked at the Skeptical Inquirer piece, and we get Skeptical Inquirer here at Radio America in the media mail and check it out, and it really was very surprising. It was a surprising piece, and I'm grateful to Annabelle for alerting us to it. But when she talks about, or the author of this piece talks about a handful of skeptics, would you be so kind to give us, and certainly me and our listeners, an idea of the numbers? Is it still a handful of quote-unquote energy company-funded skeptics, or is it not so clear as that anymore? It seems to me, I've seen lists online passed around, thousands of scientists who are climate-centered scientists, meteorological engineers and analysts, fellows like Joe Bastardi, who's just about the best weatherman on the planet, if you ask me. What are the numbers like? How many so-called skeptics or realists are there versus the anthropogenic global warming alarmists?
That's a hard question, but I think basically it's this. There's a very there's a small hardcore group of alarmist scientists, and they are the ones who've driven the agenda. And a lot of other scientists, both in climate-related fields and in other fields as far afield as sociology and political science, have basically gone along with them because I think there are a number of factors. A lot of it is self-interest. This is benefiting the academic community in terms of huge amounts of funding. And you particularly see this in the social sciences, where people in fields like psychology, sociology, economics, political science get major amounts of funding to do studies on what will be the sociological impacts of climate change on, a certain segment of society. There's a big project. 53 people have been funded in Canada to study the effects on people of climate change, and these are all social scientists. So there's a lot of people who are just kind of going along with it just because, everybody says it's true. I think the actual scientific community is the people who are very closely connected to climate science are not very alarmist. I think that they're skeptical. I mean, they're not sold on it, and for good reason. There are very good scientific reasons to think that global warming is not a crisis. It's not a looming catastrophe. That the impacts, even if we get some warming, are not going to be very large. If people say, "Well, how will we live?" Well, if there is some warming, it'll be like moving 100 miles south or 200 miles south. I mean,
probably live a lot better. It'll cost us less to heat our homes, and we'll have more and better food. Myron, we need to take a quick break. Folks, the phone number is 1-800-GG-LIDDY, 1-800-445-4339. Dave and Mark and everybody else in Irmgard, stand by. The lines are still open at 1-800-GG-LIDDY. We'll be right back with more from Myron E. Bell from the Competitive Enterprise Institute right after these words.
This is the G. Gordon Liddy Show.
Is President Obama a socialist? This is E.W. Jackson for Stan, staying true to America's national destiny. Obama's policies are worse than socialists. His attempts to punish big business but reward his own Wall Street cronies is a form of fascism, forcing capitalism to serve his agenda. The president's health care push is more akin to communism in disregarding the will of the people to force on individuals what he says is good for the collective. I call this Obama's totalitarian impulse. In countries without our constitutional protections, that impulse is expressed through the barrel of a gun. Here, the president and his liberal comrades will express it through the undemocratic reconciliation process. Resist the fist of totalitarian impulse, even when it is hidden in a velvet glove of legislative maneuver. Let there be such a hue and cry across the land as to raise the dead. It is time to take a stand. Email me at stan@standamerica.us and follow my tweets at EWJSR.
The money you spend on drugs and pills and medicines of various kinds. The time you spend ordering, collecting, and taking them. And what are the side effects? The energy and productivity you lose when you fight a cold or flu. And all of this when your immune system fails to support you. Support your immune system, my friend, and it will support you. Minimize sickness. Maximize and optimize your immune system function. Quit spending money on last-ditch measures. Nature's Youth is an all-natural product. You know that it changes lives. You've heard the letters and the testimonials, and you know that it's a mainstay in my routine. To get you to try it, I have asked them to give you one free month supply of any Nature's Youth product, including RSF, with your first order of Nature's Youth RSF. The number is 1-800-478-7111. That's 1-800-478-7111.
Is President Obama a socialist? This is E.W. Jackson for Stan, staying true to America's national destiny. Obama's policies are worse than socialists. His attempts to punish big business but reward his own Wall Street cronies is a form of fascism, forcing capitalism to serve his agenda. The president's health care push is more akin to communism in disregarding the will of the people to force on individuals what he says is good for the collective. I call this Obama's totalitarian impulse. In countries without our constitutional protections, that impulse is expressed through the barrel of a gun. Here, the president and his liberal comrades will express it through the undemocratic reconciliation process. Resist the fist of totalitarian impulse, even when it is hidden in a velvet glove of legislative maneuver. Let there be such a hue and cry across the land as to raise the dead. It is time to take a stand. Email me at stan@standamerica.us and follow my tweets at EWJSR.
Since OnStar began, we've responded to over 100,000 automatic crash alerts.
First emergency. I've been in a car accident. I went off the embankment. Okay, please stay on the line. I'm contacting 911.
In a crash, an OnStar advisor can automatically receive an alert.
911.
This is OnStar Emergency. I have a lady who was involved in a collision with airbag deployment just north of Highway 100. I have 911 on the line.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm down the embankment.
Are you stuck in the vehicle?
My body's not trapped. I'm just at a weird angle where if I let my seatbelt off, I'll just flame forward.
Okay, we have fire and ambulance on the way.
With built-in automatic crash response, an OnStar advisor can use GPS technology to locate you and share crash details, which could help save your life.
Are the medics there with you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Well, I'm hoping you're going to be okay.
Thank you, OnStar.
OnStar is standard for the first year on 15 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
8. I deliver your Sunday paper every week.
7. We work on the same floor.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. Our kids walk to school together every day,
including millions of children and seniors.
5. We chat in the elevator at work sometimes.
4. I'm your cashier at the grocery store.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help? You can make a difference through Feeding America at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Tuna melt and fries.
Mmm, good.
Tuna melt and fries with 3% cash back.
This is great.
Tuna melt and fries with 3% cash back and no interest.
Mmm, delicious.
Anywhere you eat, from takeout to sit down, you'll get 3% cash back when you use Chase Freedom today. Avoid interest on everyday purchases by paying in full with Blueprint. This is more than a cash back card. It's freedom. Enroll now at chase.com/freedom.
Chase cards issued by Chase Bank USA NA and are subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, my special guest is Myron Abel of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. The telephone number is 1-800-GG-LIDDY. That's 1-800-445-4339. We're going to Las Vegas, Nevada, and Dave. Dave, you're on the air.
Good morning, G. Liddy, and always an honor, sir. And Myron, I'd like to make a statement and ask your opinion on it. When I first called in, I hadn't really heard you talk about, the funding for some of these meteorologists and other experts in the field. But, you know, I really think it comes down or boils down to follow the money trail. Isn't it about time that we looked at each and every one of these people who are proponents of global warming or some sort of global change and look at their funding? And to be truthfully honest with you, sir, it smacks of a Maurice Strong spider web.
Yeah.
And you know, I just think the truth really needs to come out on this, and people need to be exposed. And there should be a list of all of these people, where they get their funding, and what their true motives are. Do you disagree with me, sir?
Dave, no, I don't. And I would add to that, I think that the real serious money is the big corporations that have figured out how they can make money off of higher energy prices. And I would encourage you, and if you're not aware of it, and all Gordon's listeners, to look at the website of the U.S. Climate Action Partnership. And that's the coalition of big companies like General Electric, General Motors, Duke Energy, PNM of New Mexico, another utility in Albuquerque, and a lot of big companies, Alcoa, Ford Motor. All these companies have figured out that if they get cap and trade, they can make windfall profits. Now, in the long term, it may be really bad. The economy may go down. Their long-term prospects may be terrible. But in the short term, they figured out ways to make billions and billions and billions of dollars in windfall profits. And of course, a lot of corporate executives now have very short horizons. It's like, well, I'm going to retire in 3 years. What's my package going to look like? And so, I think, yes, it's good to look at the motives of these scientists and at Al Gore, but the real big push behind energy rationing now is these big corporations, and they have figured out how they're going to make a lot of money off the backs of consumers.
All right. Thank you, Dave. From Tennessee, Brian, you're on the air.
Hi, G. Gordon Liddy. I'm enjoying your show, I'm with globalfreezing.com. And what I wanted to ask, Mr. Abel, I really appreciate the topic and everything. Oh, real quick. Okay. It's about John Holdren, the CSER, environmental CSER. How much influence and does he have, and what can he do as far as being Obama's environmental CSER to actually hurt us with this global warming?
Brian, I hope he doesn't have much impact. I hope that the folks in the White House have figured out fairly quickly that he's a kook and an extremist. He has no clue as to what he's talking about. He's supported massive policies for decades to reduce population and to deindustrialize the world. His predictions have been almost uniformly wrong over the past 40 years.
Myron Abel, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Myron. God bless
you.
Competitive Enterprise Institute.
Live from Washington, you're listening to the Voice of Freedom, the Voice of Liberty, the Voice of the Nation.
This is Radio America.
IRN USA Radio News. I'm Greg Moore. Iraqi election officials are busy counting votes today after the country's first parliamentary election since 2005. Final turnout figures have yet to be released, but American officials say more Iraqis went to the polls yesterday than anticipated. Results aren't expected to be released for at least another day or two. Two Democrats in Congress are speaking out against health care reform efforts. Congressman Jason Altmaier of Pennsylvania and John Adler of New Jersey told Fox News Sunday they are concerned that the current legislation does not do enough to control the costs of the health care industry. Retail gas prices have jumped by about 10 cents a gallon over the past 2 weeks. The Lundberg survey puts the average price of regular unleaded at $2.73 a gallon. Survey editor Trilby Lundberg says the increasing cost of crude oil is what's pushing prices higher at the gas pump. This is IRN USA Radio.
Is President Obama a socialist? This is E.W. Jackson for Stan, staying true to America's national destiny. Obama's policies are worse than socialists. His attempts to punish big business but reward his own Wall Street cronies is a form of fascism, forcing capitalism to serve his agenda. The president's health care push is more akin to communism in disregarding the will of the people to force on individuals what he says is good for the collective. I call this Obama's totalitarian impulse. In countries without our constitutional protections, that impulse is expressed through the barrel of a gun. Here, the president and his liberal comrades will express it through the undemocratic reconciliation process. Resist the fist of totalitarian impulse, even when it is hidden in a velvet glove of legislative maneuver. Let there be such a hue and cry across the land as to raise the dead. It is time to take a stand. Email me at stand@standamerica.us and follow my tweets at EWJSR.
Dear Mom and Dad, one thing I've learned in the Army is that when you're lucky enough to get a little time off, you should put it to good use. So I'm taking a moment to write and tell you that I'm fine and doing well. We have good days and bad days over here. We try to remember the good ones and get through the bad ones as best we can. Mostly we have each other, and that's what keeps us going. That and the pride of our commitment to getting the job done, whatever it takes. I miss you all very much and can't wait to get back to life as usual. Please tell everybody hello for me, that I'll be home soon. And Mom, since you asked, if anyone wants to help, just tell them to contact the USO. You can't believe how much they do for us. With love, your son Michael.
The USO depends on the generosity of the American people. People just like you. To find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
Excuse me, do you know how to get to Maine and Maple?
Do you have these in a 7.5?
How's that cooked?
Can I get that shipped overnight?
Is there a direct flight?
How long does the warranty last?
What's your soup of the day?
How do you change the ringtone?
Does it come in blue?
Does this bus stop at Elm Street?
We ask questions everywhere in life.
Is it raining out?
What time's the meeting?
How much does this cost?
Does it have four-wheel drive?
Have we met before?
What's my account balance?
Yet somehow, when we get to the doctor's office...
Any questions?
No.
We clam up. Ask questions.
What is this test for?
Are there any side effects?
When do I get my results?
Questions lead to better health care. Go to ahrq.gov for a list of 10 questions everyone should know. Questions are the answer. Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm Chad Hoover from Santa Fe Pasteur. We're a proud sponsor of March of Dimes March for Babies, and we're working on a joint education campaign called Sounds of Pertussis. Helping babies was an easy decision for us. It's a cause that matters to our employees and to the communities we serve. Healthy babies mean lower health care costs for all of us. Your company can make a difference, too. Support the March of Dimes. Join the more than 20,000 companies who participate in March for Babies. Visit marchforbabies.org.
Wow, that dinner was delicious.
Yep, totally sucked. A lot.
And that 12-layer chocolate cake? I didn't even know that was possible.
12 layers of deliciously horrible chocolate. Really, really horrible.
You know, honey, we should come here again.
It'll still suck, but why not?
When you're quitting smoking, a great meal without a cigarette sucks. Nicorette makes it suck less, doubling your chances of success. Learn more at Nicorette.com. Use as directed. Individual results may vary. Support program increases chances of success.
Now, live from Radio America in Washington, D.C.,
an American legend, G. Gordon Liddy.
I'm home again in my old narrow bed, where I grew tall and my
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We're going out to 1-800-GG-LIDDY. That's 1-800-445-4339. From Joe in New Jersey. You're on the air.
Hi, G-Man.
Hi, Joe.
Yes. Well, I, you know, as a forester, I get to attend a lot of these meetings this time of year. And it was very interesting. Last Thursday, I attended a meeting where a PhD got up from one of the major tree care companies. He was talking about how the discussion was on designing and maintaining sustainable landscapes to conserve resources in the strive for a carbon-neutral site, and that how it is such a marketable tool and it's such a buzzword, and that it's good for business. And that was like a key point that he kept striving. But the interesting thing was that afternoon, the same professor, your not a professor, PhD, got up there, and he was discussing about how a lot of trees that have gotten planted out of their hardiness zones, like trees have and plants have certain hardiness zones, and that people have planted these species that really don't strive, you know, they need a warmer climate, and they planted them up north, and how this year they're finding all these trees and plants are dying. But the key thing was it was good for business. And that was what the, you know, the take-home message was.
Oh, boy. How do those fast-growing Leyland spruce do?
They're not, you know, anything that's too fast-growing and it's out of its area is not a good thing to do, you know, to plant. I personally, I tell people to plant native species, things that are indigenous to the area, and pick species that are close to that. But there are some other factors, like some other diseases that are coming around that are limiting. But most important is that and plant biodiversity, not plant just one species of plant or one species of tree. Because if a disease comes along like the Dutch elm disease, I mean, how many towns have Elm Street without a tree on them? Because it'll wipe out the whole, all of them. Right now, the ash trees are probably going to go to the wayside because of an insect called the emerald ash borer, which has come in from Asia, and it's making its way across from Illinois east. It's in Pennsylvania now, and it's basically wiped out all the ash trees. And so it's always good to plant native species, things that grow fast. There's a key why they grow fast. You know, it's not always, a good thing in the long run. Lombardy poplars were very, you know, popular there. They planted a lot of them, but then they die out. Calorie pear is another one that you see planted along a lot of street scapes. Well, now they're a fast-growing tree. They're a beautiful tree, but they're very prone to ice and storm damage, you know, because of that. So, you know, the take-home message is really plant native species and be biodiverse. Don't plant just one thing. Plant a bunch of things.
Thank you, Joe. We appreciate your listening and your calling and your expert knowledge. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Sam Vaknin is joining me. Dr. Vaknin is the doctor who has studied Barack Obama and his personality and believes him to be a narcissist. Dr. Vaknin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you've done things such as count the number of times that Obama is self-referential, uses the pronoun I, and so forth. Tell us how you went about studying, if you would please, Obama's personality, and why you came to the conclusion he's a narcissist.
Well, I've been studying Barack Obama since late 2007. I did not have the fortune, or misfortune rather, of meeting him in person, but there's ample evidence in the media and testimonials of his nearest and dearest, close collaborators, colleagues, neighbors, and so on and so forth. So there's a pretty hefty body of evidence with regards to Obama, his conduct, his behavior, his body language, and so on and so forth. So I've been collecting material and monitoring and analyzing since late 2007. Well, in July 2008, I published, I was the first to suggest that Barack Obama may be a narcissist. That means a person who suffers from the clinically identifiable DSM diagnosis of narcissistic personality disorder. We all have narcissistic traits to some extent. Having narcissistic traits is not the same as being a narcissist. A narcissist is a malignant form of otherwise healthy behaviors. And so I was very worried, and I published my article. My suggestion that he was a narcissist was mocked and derided and so on at the beginning. But I think by now, very few people would disagree with me. I think it's pretty clear that he is not only narcissistic, but potentially a malignant narcissist.
Well, Dr. Vakhtin, what is the danger involved in having a person who is a malignant narcissist in a position of power such as President of the United States?
Narcissists are partial human beings. They lack serious parts, serious spare parts in their cognitive and emotional lives. Their internal landscape is so alien. Their ability to act as other people would expect them to act is impaired because, to start with, they lack empathy. They are unable to put themselves in other people's shoes. They have never had the full benefit of experiencing what it is to be human. They are, in many respects, a form of artificial intelligence. They are very machine-like. They're very robotic. They are goal-oriented, and the goal is to obtain attention, to obtain narcissistic supply. They are relentless and ruthless in pursuing this goal, and in this respect, they are very much akin to drug addicts, with the drug being narcissistic supply. Now, the problem starts when the narcissist fails to secure narcissistic supply. For instance, right now, Obama's poll ratings are down. His foreign policy is in tatters, his healthcare reform is bogged down, and so on and so forth. So he's getting very little narcissistic supply. He's getting very little adulation, adoration, and so on and so forth. And this is where the debate starts. Narcissists react to deficient narcissistic supply. They react with acts of self-destruction and other destruction. They're very destructive, they're very self-defeating. If you are a plain, you know, a general individual, then if somebody is the president of the United States, your destructive actions and acts probably.
I just thought I'd put a little Van Halen here to add to the chaos. G-Man just sat back and grabbed a cup of tea. Well, just listen to the noise. Well, Dr. Vakhtin, I asked you previously whether you had a ground line. Do you? Yes? No?
Yes, I have.
Let's use that because we didn't want to use it earlier. Let's go to a break and come right back, G-Man. What do you say? We'll get this phone line situation.
Technical difficulty.
It's not a technical difficulty.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dr. Vakhtin is far overseas, sailing in the Gulf of Oman. We'll be back in just a moment right here on the G. Gordon Liddy Show with G. Gordon Liddy and Dr. Sam Vakhtin, the grandfather of the diagnosis.
Yeah.
Now, live from Radio America in Washington, D.C., an American legend, G. Gordon Liddy.
One of the most beautiful coins ever minted. Bold and mysterious in design and very rare. The silver Mercury dime. You may never have seen one. Production ceased in the 1940s. But the Mercury dime is a stunning reflection of the power of a free nation. The beauty of liberty and, of course, the security and timeless value of a truly precious metal. That's why my friends at Roslyn Capital want to give you your own Mercury dime. The Mercury dimes have arrived under guard, and yours is waiting to be sent to you. Strength, security, and the highest satisfaction ratings in the business. That's the Roslyn difference. Armor plate your portfolio. RoslynCapital.com. Call now. Receive the free Roslyn kit. Receive your silver Mercury dime. Compliments of Roslyn, and meet your Roslyn Gold Advisor. 1-800-679-3494. 1-800-679-3494.
Since OnStar began, we've answered over 100 million calls for help.
This is OnStar Emergency.
I believe I have a diabetic attack. I'm in the middle of a sunflower field.
Okay, sir. I am going to contact the 911 center.
911.
This is OnStar Emergency. I'm going to give you a lat and long. Lat is 44.7355. Long is negative 100.41. The gentleman is a diabetic. I'm going to conference him in.
What happened?
I do not remember. I need an ambulance to stabilize my blood sugars. My car is disabled.
Okay, we'll get you help.
I'm going to stay until the police arrive.
Why am I so weepy? I'm not a crier.
It could be the sugar levels changing from stress.
Yeah. I'm an old infantry officer. I don't get stressed out.
I don't think you're that old, sir.
They're here. Thank you.
You take care now. You're welcome.
Emergency services is standard for the first year on 15 Chevy models. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations.
Tuna melt and fries.
Mmm, good.
Tuna melt and fries with 3% cash back.
This is great.
Tuna melt and fries with 3% cash back and no interest.
Mmm, delicious.
Anywhere you eat, from takeout to sit down, you'll get 3% cash back when you use Chase Freedom today. Avoid interest on everyday purchases by paying in full with Blueprint. This is more than a cash back card. It's freedom. Enroll now at chase.com/freedom.
Chase cards issued by Chase Bank USA NA and are subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
Okay, push it. 3 more reps. Oh, don't look, but you are totally being watched right now.
Oh, that? Oh, that's the money I'm saving with Geico.
Oh, what's he doing in the gym?
Oh, dude, he paid for my gym membership.
What?
Yeah, spin classes, extra towels, a locker rental, all thanks to that stack of money with the googly eyes. Hey, what's up, buddy?
I want that.
Oh, well, that's pretty easy. Just contact
Geico. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
I need some answers. September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
Good morning. What can I get for you?
Could I get a double suck mocha latte, please?
I don't think we make those here.
Really? All right, how about a succachino?
I'm sorry, we don't really...
Can you just try, please?
Okay, 1 minute.
Wow, that even sounds sucky.
When you're quitting smoking, coffee without a cigarette sucks. Nicorette makes it suck less, doubling your chances of success. Learn more at Nicorette.com. Use as directed. Individual results may vary. Support program increases chances of success.
In a military warehouse south of Washington, D.C., a USO stuffing party is in full swing. By the end of the day, volunteers will have stuffed over 10,000 USO care packages, packed them in boxes, loaded them on trucks, and sent them on their way to our soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and military bases around the world. They'll stuff them full of things that most of us take for granted, but that our troops don't often have. Things like toiletries, playing cards, candy, books, little things. Little things that carry an enormous message to our troops. Little things like, thank you. Like, we'll never forget you. Like, we're behind you 100%. Like, we love and cherish each and every one of you. Little things. We're all about the little things. We're the USO. So are you. For more information and to find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
Liddy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with Dr. Sam Vaknin. He is the psychologist who first diagnosed President Obama as being a malignant narcissist. And Dr. Vaknin, you mentioned that one of the characteristics of malignant narcissism is self-destructive behavior. Now, what's going on right now here in the States is there is a bill which would take over 17% of our gross domestic product, the whole healthcare business. The every poll in the country says that the people are just furious about it, hate it, don't want it. And what they want is action on jobs. But instead, Obama just keeps hammering away on this pet project of his that nobody wants. Is that the kind of self-destructive behavior you are referring to?
Well, the healthcare reform, so-called reform that Obama is pushing, is an excellent manifestation, a great way to demonstrate several facets of malignant narcissism. The first is the messianic complex. They believe that the narcissist believes that he has this mission, cosmic mission. And it's never small in the small details. You know, it's never generating jobs or improving the road system. It's something global. It's something enormous. It's something unprecedented. It's something. So healthcare fits the bill. It's been tried before. There have been failures in 1994 and so on. And so if he pushes through healthcare reform his way, it will buttress and sustain his sense of grandiosity. His grandiose fantasies will be affirmed. He would be the first to succeed where many others have failed before. So regardless of the consequences, and even regardless of the costs, social costs, other costs, monetary costs, regardless of anything, he's going to push this through because it's essential for him as a person. He needs to sustain and regulate his sense of self-worth with his cosmic messianic tasks and self-assigned tasks. So this is one element. The second element is what we call in psychology a lack of reality test. Narcissists tend to ignore feedback from their environment. They tend to ignore anything from any information from the outside which conflicts with their perception of themselves, of their, again, cosmic messianic role, of their destiny, of their they live out their life is larger than life. And anything that conflicts with this, anything that sort of can be interpreted as criticism, disagreement, or even checks and balances, anything of this sort, is peremptorily ignored by the narcissist. So that's where the narcissist fails the reality test. Narcissists gradually get more and more detached from reality. Finally, many of them end up delusional, completely delusional, living in hermetic, self-contained universes which have very little to do with the outside world. And this is where Obama is heading. I have no doubt about this. He is a delusional narcissist. And the third thing that this healthcare reform is, I think, showing pretty clearly is the narcissist's inability to cope with adverse consequences, with delays, with compromises. With the narcissist just plows on, and anything that stops him in his tracks is perceived in a paranoid light. As a conspiracy, so the Republicans are conspiring to sabotage and undermine Obama's agenda. It's not that they disagree with the whole notion or concept. It's not that they may have some good arguments or something. It's deliberately an attack, a personal attack. And the narcissist personalizes everything. Narcissist personalizes politics. He personalizes foreign policy. He personalizes everything the narcissist does. Is an extension of his pretty sick personality. And so we have all three in one in the case of healthcare reform.
Well, Dr. Vaknin, do you believe Obama may be an elitist narcissist? That is to say that he corresponds to Wilhelm Reich's phallic narcissist personality type?
Well, Barack, all narcissists regard themselves as superior, and well, with one exception, there's a narcissistic type called covert narcissist. But with this single exception, all classic narcissistic types regard themselves as superior, belonging to an elite, sometimes a self-designated elite, destined for greatness, on the way to accomplish the impossible, and so on and so forth. So yes, by definition, he would be an elitist. But Obama has great thespian skills. He's a great actor. So there is something that Obama is a great example of, and it's called false modesty. Narcissists pretend to be modest. They pretend to they are self-deprecating. They are ostensibly humorous at their own expense, and so on and so forth. But that's all a pretension. It's all an act. And if and the idea, false modesty, is intended to elicit compliments, to elicit disagreements. So the narcissist would say, well, you know, I'm not very good at that. And he fully expects others around him to say, what are you talking about? You're the best. You're the greatest. So false modesty is intended to elicit exactly the opposite, to elicit narcissistic supply. And I've noticed that Obama has been falsely modest hundreds of times in the last year, especially while in office. But there are other things that are happening to Obama which are indications of growing malignant narcissism on the way to self-destruction, on the tipping point. First of all, I think we discussed it last time I had the opportunity of being on your show,
mm-hmm.
and that is what is called pronoun density. It is a number of times a person substitutes first-person pronouns for more appropriate third and other person pronouns. So let me give you an example. If you say my country, right or wrong, that's not indicative of narcissistic self-preoccupation. That's okay. It's a neutral sentence. But if you say, as Obama did, the Russians were afraid of me, that is improper, because clearly Russians are not afraid of any single individual. They are afraid of what this individual represents.
Mm-hmm.
But Obama doesn't make the distinction. The United States is Obama.
L'état, c'est moi.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Louis the Sun King. So that's why he says, for instance, the Russians were afraid of me, or I did this and that in foreign policy, while actually it was the United States, and so on. So he doesn't make this distinction.
Now,
his pronoun density has doubled between January 20th, 2009, in late 2009. It has doubled. It has since subsided, but it's still very high.
Well, Dr. Vankin, they're saying that the passage of this bill is 50-50, that it, you know, nobody knows whether it will pass or not. If it does not pass, what would be the effect on the personality of Obama?
Well, no one knows, because narcissists opt for one of five possible outcomes. When narcissists are slapped in the face, when they are forced to wake up, when they are confronted with harsh reality, and when they can no longer deny it, and their own confabulations crumble, they opt for one of five possible outcomes. Some of them become delusional. Some of them become criminalized, antisocial. Some of them become paranoid. Some of them become schizoid. Schizoid means hermits. They sort of withdraw and isolate themselves. And some of them become masochistic. They punish themselves. They self-flagellate in public and in private. But all these outcomes are detrimental to the United States and to the world at large. If Obama becomes delusional, I don't need to tell you what it means.
Oh,
it means he is out of touch with reality. If he becomes criminalized and antisocial, I don't need to tell you what it means. The whole country will become criminalized and antisocial, and basic freedoms and liberties will be at stake.
Dr. Sam Vakhtin, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Vakhtin, I really appreciate your giving us this time, especially under the difficult transmittal.
Thank you.
I hope we can call upon you again.
Liddy.
Radio has never sounded so red, white, and blue.
You do it better than anybody.
This is the best station I've ever listened to in my life.
This is Radio America.